Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 2 Corinthians 5:11 to 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 to 21. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And at one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. My theme for reflection is reconciled to reconcile. Reconciled to reconcile. There is something gently ironic about how we handle broken relationships. We say, let's just move on, while quietly holding on to the hurt. We send polite messages instead of honest ones. And sometimes we hope time will fix what courage has not yet faced. Reconciliation, if we are honest, is something we long for, but often don't quite know how to live out. Into this human tension, 2 Corinthians 5:11 to 21 speaks with both depth and hope. The Apostle Paul writes to a fractured community, one where trust has been strained and relationships tested. Yet rather than offering mere advice, he anchors everything in something far greater. The love of Christ compels us. This is not sentimental language, it is a theological claim. Christ's love is not passive. It presses, moves, and reshapes us. Because one has died for all, life can no longer be lived from the old center of self-preservation. It must now flow from the new center of grace. Paul is addressing a church tempted to evaluate him and one another by outward appearances and human standards. But he insists that something decisive has happened in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. This is not an improvement project, it is a transformation of identity. The old categories, status, grievance, pride, even past failures no longer have the final word. As Karl Barth once observed, the gospel is not a religious message to inform us, but a power that transforms us. That transformation is most visible in this reconciliation. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. This is the heart of the Christian message. Not that God ignores sin, but that in Christ God absorbs it, overcomes it, and opens a new future. Scripture deepens this vision. When read alongside Luke 15:25-32, where the older brother struggles to accept the father's reconciliation with the prodigal son. The story reminds us that reconciliation is not only about being forgiven, it is about learning to forgive, to release resentment, and to join in the joy of restoration. It is possible to be near the Father and yet far from his heart. For Christian people today, this passage is profoundly practical. We live in a world marked by divisions, social, political, even within families and churches. It is easy to become critical, to take sides, to define others by their failures. But Paul offers a different calling. We are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador does not speak their own agenda, they represent another. To be an ambassador of Christ is to carry into everyday life the tone, the truth, and the grace of God's reconciling love. This changes how we see people. We no longer reduce them to labels or past mistakes. We begin to see them as those for whom Christ died. It also changes how we act. Reconciliation is no longer optional. It becomes part of our vocation. Sometimes that means initiating difficult conversations. Sometimes it means letting go of the need to be right. Sometimes it simply means choosing kindness where resentment would have been easier. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, who in my life might God be calling me to see differently, not through past hurt, but through the lens of Christ's love? Number two, and in what ways am I resisting the work of reconciliation, either with God or with others? And now our practical exercise for the day. Reach out to one person where there has been distance or tension. It need not be a grand gesture, just a sincere word, a small step toward peace. Let it be your participation in God's ministry of reconciliation. Gracious God, we thank you that in Christ you have not counted our sins against us, but have drawn us back into your love. Teach us to live as your ambassadors, carriers of grace in a divided world. Give us courage where reconciliation feels costly, humility where pride resists, and wisdom where relationships are fragile. May our lives reflect your mercy, and may your peace flow through us into the lives of others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.